silver and gold, you know, they heat it up the way they get rid of the impurities. They put it at a very high temperature and it burns off all the impurities. So then you have 100% pure gold, 100% pure silver. And if you ask a silversmith, how do you know when the silver is pure? He says, when I look into the cauldron, the pot, and it's pure, I can see my reflection in it. And when God knows you have been purified by the fire, he can see his reflection in you. You look like Jesus.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In a year that has caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When the Heat is On.
Number three, here's a third one. This is a big one. If I trust God when the heat is on, God will give me a new freedom. A new freedom. You're going to come out on the backside of that fiery furnace with a new liberty, a new freedom. You're not so bound up. Now, the Bible is full of examples and testimonies to this, that what people in the world mean to use to enslave you, or what people mean to use to entrap you, or to destroy you, God wants to use that very problem in your life to liberate you, to set you free from the expectations of other people, to set you free from the opinions of other people, to set you free from a lot of other things that are holding you back and tying you down. One example, Psalm 66, verse 12, they say there, you let the captors set foot on our neck. This is actually talking about when the Jews were slaves in Egypt. They said, God, you allowed that. You allowed us to be slaves and set the captors' foot on our neck. But he says, then we went through fire and water and you led us out to freedom. Circle that word, freedom. God wants you to be free. You know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it often comes at a very high cost and a lot of heat. 3 years ago, you know, when my youngest son died. He struggled with mental health his entire life. My son was born with a very troubled mind. Tender heart, troubled mind. Your identity is not your illness. Your character is not your chemistry. And he was depressed. He struggled with mental illness his entire life. The most courageous young man I've ever met. And he made it 27 years. But one day, as you know, 3 years ago, he took his life. It was the worst day of my life. And I will never forget that. And I was going through the fire with that one. But to make it matters worse, Satan just tried to take advantage of it. I'm a pretty well-known guy. And anybody who's well-known has critics. And the critics, when my son died, came out of the woodwork in magazines and TVs and blogs, and they were saying all kinds of evil things, mean things. There were people celebrating my son's death. There were people laughing at his death. It was all over the internet. It was just the meanest thing you could imagine. And there were armchair psychologists saying, well, it's Rick's fault, the dad's fault, and on, and saying all kinds of nonsensical, illiterate, illegitimate, nonsensical stuff. And literally, not only did I have to deal with the grief of losing a son, but for about 3 months, I had to deal with this barrage of critics, and it was incessant, and it was insane, and it was intense, and it was brutal, and it was public, and it was constant. And I was going through the fire. I was going through hell. But God was walking through it with me. and I didn't get singed. And I made it through the other time. And I came out and survived that great fire. And I remember telling you, I told my family first, somebody had asked me, said, Rick, you know, after all that Satan has thrown at you in the last 90 days, how do you feel? And I said, honestly, I feel fearless. I feel fearless. My attitude is, okay, I said, I'm just not afraid. My attitude was, Satan, that's the best you got? That's all you can throw at me? And have these people say things that are untrue and unkind and all? That's the best you got? And I'm still here? I am not afraid of anything anymore. I'm just not. I'm not afraid of people's opinions or disapproval. Some of you, if somebody looks at you sideways, you wilt. You can't stand the thought of somebody in your school or your business thinking you're a Christian and saying one word about you behind your back because you think, I've got to have everybody love me. You don't. You don't need their approval to be happy. And you just wilt, and you're not courageous. You're cowardly. Because the opinions of other people matter so much to you, you'd rather deny Christ than do the and so you can be popular than do the right thing. And God may have to take you through a fire. I hope not like the one I went through. But I came out of that liberated, feeling, really, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm living for an audience of one. If God likes me and I like me, you got a problem. And it's just a freedom, a liberation that I would wish for you, that you would be weaned of the addiction to the approval of other people. You just don't need it to be happy. I hope it doesn't take that kind of fire in your case. But God will give me a new freedom. Number four, four things that happen. If I trust God when the heat is on, if I have faith in the furnace, number four, God will make sure I come out unharmed. He'll make sure that I come out unharmed. Now, even before King Nebuchadnezzar thought up this dumb idea of making a statue, an image to himself, God already knew what was going to happen. God had already planned the outcome. He wasn't worried. And because God wasn't worried, he's sovereign. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are not afraid either. And here's what happens in the story. Look at this on the screen. Verse 26. Then, after they had thrown him in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace. Okay? And he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Where'd that one come from? Hello, we've had a pagan king converted right here in front of everybody else. He's going, obviously, their God's the real deal. My God's a fake. My God's a phony. Servants of the Most High God. He's saying this in front of everybody else. Come out. Come out at once. He's saying like Richard Dawson, come on down, you know? So it says, the three men stepped out of the fire. Notice Nebuchadnezzar wisely did not invite the fourth man out. He's afraid of that guy. I know Shadrach, I know Meshach, I know Abednego. They're guys that I've had as governors for 15 years. Okay? So you guys can come on out. The rest of you, stay in there, please. Okay? Because he doesn't want to have to face that, the fourth man in the furnace. And they come out. And then it says this. Then the princes and the prefects and the governors and the advisors, these are all the co-workers of these guys, crowded around them and saw that the fire had not even touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Shoot, I smell like that after barbecue hamburgers. Yeah, had to go take a shower. They didn't even smell of smoke. Nothing had touched them. You know, I was thinking, I titled this series on the life of Daniel, Unshakable. These guys are not just unshakable, they're unbakable. Okay? They're unbakable. I mean, they can't be hooked by the king, and they can't be cooked by the king. They're just, God's on their side. And God makes sure they come out unharmed. Okay, number five. Fifth thing in the text, it tells us this. If I trust God when the heat is on, when I show faith in the furnace, number five, it will bring unbelievers to God. Wow. It's a testimony. It's a witness. It will bring unbelievers to God. How you handle pain, how much you trust God when you're in pain, when you are under pressure, when the heat is on in your life, will probably be your most powerful witness and your most powerful testimony in your life. You're not much of a witness when everything's going good in your life. But when you're faithful to God and you trust God implicitly and explicitly, when you're in pain, you're under pressure, you're in the fire, and people go, how are they doing that? How are they handling that? That is a witness, that is a testimony to God. And this pain can be used in your life mission. Now, these guys really impressed the king. And again, he's the most powerful emperor of that age. And notice what happens, verse 28. Then the king said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servant. He didn't know it was Jesus. Who sent his angel to rescue his servant. They trusted in him. Those four words, they trusted in him. When I die, I want you to put those four words on my tombstone. He trusted in him. And I hope that one day when you die, we can put them on your tombstone. You trusted in God. There is no greater epitaph for your life than that. You trusted in God. They trusted in him. That's the highest compliment. They trusted in him. That's why they're coming out unharmed. And Nebuchadnezzar says, they defied my command. I'm the most powerful guy in the world. I'm leading the biggest empire of the day. They defied my command, and they were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Question, what are you willing to die for? Have you ever figured that one out? Have you ever sat down and make a list of what you are willing to die for? Because if you don't know what you're willing to die for, you can't really live. You're not ready to live. You're just existing until you know what's worth dying for. There are some things in life that are worth dying for. Have you figured that out yet? Because if you haven't, you're living down here at this level of life rather than up here at the highest level of life. You're existing. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And one of the keys is to know what's worth dying for. I said, they were willing to die. You know, it's interesting to me that in botany, some seeds only sprout, only germinate after a forest fire. This is true. There are a lot of plants like this, trees and plants. A good example, the Jack pinecone tree, which is over in the New England area of America. They're all over, Jack pinecones everywhere. Jack pinecones have the seeds in the cones, but the resin on the cone is so tight, they can't get out, and they won't sprout. And only if there is a forest fire, when that intense heat comes, it melts the resin off that pinecone, the seeds drop out, they germinate, and a whole new generation of jack pine trees are grown. They only grow after they've been through the fire. Now, this is true of a lot of different plants. Manzanitas in the mid-southwest, you know. It's true in Northern California. The famous redwood trees. I grew up in the redwoods in a little town called Redwood Valley. The redwoods are the largest living organism on the planet. They can grow 400 feet tall. They can grow 2,000 years old. And yet the redwood tree seeds in those cones only really open up when the heat is on. And when the heat's on and the fire comes, the pine cones release, or the redwood cones release their things, and they germinate and they grow. And some of the greatest things that happen in life are only going to come out of the fire in your life. New life springs out of fire. Now, here's what happens in this story. Look at the next verse, verse 29. Nebuchadnezzar says this, "Therefore, I make this decree." He's got a new decree now. The first one was everybody bow down to me. Here's the new decree. If anyone says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be put to death and their houses will be destroyed. Well, he hadn't lost his dictator quality yet, obviously. Okay. He's offering capital punishment. We would not do that, okay? Okay. You have a right to believe whatever you want to believe, and I will support you in that right. But the bottom line is, he goes, okay, he's just saying, nobody's going to diss the true God, because this is the real deal. This is the real God. And he says, so you're not going to, nobody's going to badmouth the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, there is no other God who can save anyone like this. Friends, 2,500 years later, that statement is still true. There is no God who can save you except the real God. Who are you looking for to be your rescuer? Who are you looking for to be your deliverer? Who are you looking for to save you out of your crisis, out of your fiery furnace, out of your deep waters when you're going under the last time? Who are you looking for? Are you trying to save yourself? That one isn't going to work. You looking for the government to save you? Are you looking for popular culture to save you? Some reality show? There is no other God that will save you. And you need a Savior, which is why we have Christmas. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Believe me, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have wasted the time sending one. And Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. There's no other way you're getting to heaven without a Savior. If you could, he wouldn't have wasted the time in sending a son. You need a Savior. There is no God, no other God. Nobody's going to bail you out. Nobody's going to rescue you. And you're not going to be able to rescue yourself out of every problem you have in life. You need a Savior. And so he's right on this. He's saying, there's no God who can save you. And then notice the rest of the verse. It says, then the king promoted, here's that word again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. We started this hearing saying, before every success, there is a test. He tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. And every time you pass the test of life, you get promoted. And they're going to be promoted 5 or 6 times in this story. I don't want you to miss any in this series because we're covering all of the major crises of life. Major change. This one happens to be when the heat is on. Now, finally, there's one more thing. If I have faith in the furnace, and if I trust God when the heat is on, number 6, God will reward my faith in heaven. God will reward my faith in heaven. There are going to be rewards given out in heaven for how much you trusted God. This has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with after your salvation, how much you trusted God the rest of your life. Now, the Bible says we're all builders. We're all architects. You're a builder. You're an architect. You say, of what? Of your life. You are designing and building your life. You can build a good building or a bad building, a strong or weak building. You can build a strong life or weak life. You're building your life. And the Bible says that God gives you the permission to do whatever you want. You get to choose 2 things. You get to choose the foundation of your life. What am I going to build my life on? And you get to choose the building materials. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, you can build it on stuff that won't burn up, strong rock and precious jewels, or you can build it on stuff that'll just burn up right away, wood, hay, and straw. So you get to choose the foundation of your life, and you get to choose what you build your life on. But it's going to be tested. And here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 down to verse 15. Each of us must be careful how we build. He's talking about our lives. Because Christ is the only solid foundation. Don't build it on popular opinion. Build it on Christ. Whatever we build on that foundation will be tested by fire. You might want to circle that. It's coming. You're going to go through the furnace. We'll be tested by fire. And here's the test. If what we build in our lives is left standing, we will be rewarded. There are going to be rewards in heaven. But if what we've built is burned up by the fire, we will lose our reward. Yet, we will be saved, like someone escaping from flames. What's he saying there? He's not talking about your salvation. Once you are saved by Christ, you are eternally saved. You can't be unsaved. If you've given your life to Christ, you're never going to lose your salvation, no matter what you've done. Once you are born again into God's family, you can't be unborn. Once you are saved, you will always be saved, no matter how bad. It's like my kids. My kids are my kids. They might do all kinds of bad stuff. They're still my kids. We might break the fellowship, but we can't break the relationship because they will always be my kids. I can't deny that. They were born in my family. So you're never going to lose your salvation once you've given your life to Christ. But you can lose your rewards. And the Bible makes that very clear. And as your pastor, as your spiritual coach who loves you, who wants to help you, I want you to have great rewards in heaven. How do you get them? By trusting God in the fire. By doing it his way. By caring more about what God says than what everybody else in the world says. God is watching to see, are you going to listen to him? Or are you going to listen to the people around you? Let's bow our heads. So as we close, I've got one question for you. Where are you feeling the heat today? Where are you feeling the heat today? Financial pressure? Job pressure? Sexual pressure? Peer pressure at school or at work? The pressure to conform and do what everybody else is doing and worship the wrong images and idols in our culture? Where are you feeling the heat these days? I want to challenge you to pass this test the way these three guys did. So pray this prayer in your heart, in your mind. You don't have to say it aloud. Say, dear God, you know the problems I'm facing right now, and you know the fire that I'm going to go through in the days and years ahead that I don't know about yet. And I'm going to be like these men. I'm not going to worry about defending myself when I'm attacked. And I'm going to remind myself, God, that you have the power to save me and deliver me no matter how big the problem seems. But God, not only do I believe you can save me, I believe you will. You've promised to. You said when you go through these problems, you'll be with me and you'll save me. So I want to thank you in advance that you're going to help me through the darkest, deepest days of my life. And Lord, I just want to say to you, like these three men said to you, even if you don't take me out of the problem, I'm still not going to serve the false gods. I know what's worth dying for. And I'm not going to worship the false images of our culture, no matter what anybody else thinks. And God, I'm going to trust you to do these six things that you did with these young men. God, I'm going to ask you to walk with me through the fire, and I know you will. And I'm expecting you to walk with me through the fire. I'm not alone. The days I'm going through now and the days in the future, I'm not alone. And I'm expecting you to burn off the things that are tying me down. It may be memories that I've held on to that are wrong. It may be misconceptions and false beliefs that are wrong. Burn them off, Lord. It may be your relationship that's wrong. Whatever it is, God, it's a habit. Burn it off of my life. I'm asking you to give me a new freedom I do not want to be manipulated by the approval of other people. I want to be fearless. I want to be willing to stand for you. I don't want to be a stuck-up. I don't want to be a kiss-up. I want to be a stand-up kind of person. Thank you that you have promised that I will come out unharmed, that people won't even be able to smell the smoke on me. And God, I'm asking you to use my pain and use the problems I go through to bring unbelievers to you. Give me a faith that other people want to imitate. Help them see me trusting you when things don't make sense, and it caused them to want to trust you. And Lord, I'm going to trust your promise that I will be rewarded in heaven for every time I trusted you when I didn't understand it, when it didn't make sense, when it seemed unpopular. And today, whether the first or the 5,000th time, I say to you, Jesus Christ, become the manager of my life. Be the Lord, the CEO, the president. Be the chairman of the board in my life. I want your plan and your purpose for my life, not my own. And I want to use me. I want you to use me to bring your plan and your purpose to others. And I humbly ask you to accept me into your family. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord. And you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 and to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world into many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we are told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.